Well, it's really nice to welcome my old friend Sukesh to Didcot. We've done all sorts of things. We haven't done things in different parts of the world, have we? We've only ever really met each other here.
We never came to Kenya
while you were there. No, you come from Kenya originally.
I was born in Kenya, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
In Western Kenya?
No, Nairobi.
In Nairobi. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And you came to Britain. Now, you look like you should be born in India, not born in Kenya. Right. So tell us what the story is. Yeah.
So Kenya has a very large number of Indians who moved to Kenya back in the 19th century, in the late 1800s. And my great-grandparents were among a very large group of people whom the British, because the British were ruling India at the time and were just beginning to rule Kenya. And so because they were developing Kenya with railways and businesses and so on, moved a large number of Indians to Kenya. So I was fourth generation Kenyan Indian.
And if you go to Kisumu, there is a building in the town which says Habari. That's your surname, written across this great big blue wall. And they drive tuk-tuks in Kisumu.
Yes, that's right.
So you think you're in India, but you're actually in Kenya.
Yes.
Okay. So you grew up Hindu?
I did, mm-hmm. Yes.
Devoutly?
Yes, I would say so. I certainly kept all the laws that I could. And I believed what I was told. Yes, I believed it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then you came to Britain.
Yeah.
And everything changed.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But you didn't become a secular pagan. You became a...
I became a Christian.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't want to steal your thunder because you've got an outline prepared. But I just wanted to sort of give that. And you went back to Kenya.
I did.
Having become a Christian.
I did.
How many years did you serve in Kenya?
18.
Wow.
Yeah.
And where are you now, Sukesh?
So I live in a town called Clevedon, which is on the Severn Estuary, just beyond Bristol, north of Weston-super-Mare. You probably know Weston-super-Mare. We're just north of there. Yeah.
You're trying to... Why don't you sit on the end, Lynn, and then you can...
What's the problem?
No, I think she's just not wanting to block Vera from seeing you. So, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Then three other people will come along and fill your places.
You don't want to miss this handsome face, do you?
Well, there's a slight vibe of air conditioning there. And it's sort of, for those of us that are losing
our
hearing,
thought it was my handsome face.
No. Yeah. Fine. So, here we go. So, over to you. That's you introduced.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I stand up? Jim was saying earlier that I'm an animated speaker, and I do find it difficult to sit and speak, because what are your hands for if they're not for you to help you when you're speaking? I mean, come on. What I'm going to do is read a verse from the Bible, and then I'll speak for about 20 minutes, and I can't see the clock in the mirror there, so don't worry, I won't go above my time. And then if you have any questions at all, and if they're really tough, Jim is here. otherwise, I'll be very, very happy to try and answer your questions for you. This is a really well-known verse, but I thought I would start with this verse from the Bible and then speak briefly on it. This is Jesus speaking to some of his disciples. And it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let me just tell you very briefly my journey from Hinduism to Christianity. As I said, I was born a Hindu, and my entire family, for generations and generations, have been Hindu, and they have been devout Hindu. To this day, I'm the only Christian in my family. My mom, who is now 90, is still a very strong Hindu. My brothers, my cousins, uncles, aunts, all the family members that I know, most of them in Kenya, quite a few in India, and a few here, they're all Hindu. So I was born and raised a Hindu. Now, at the age of 23, I was in Britain. I'd come to Britain to university. And after university, I got a job and I stayed for a few years before I went back to Kenya. And I got a job in an office, and sitting across the desk from me, I was sharing this office with a young man exactly my same age, and he had become a Christian in his last year at university. And I walked into this office, and he'd been there a couple of weeks, and we shook hands, and I said, "My name is Sukesh." And he said, I'm Peter, and I'm a Christian." And I said, "I'm Sukesh, and I'm a Hindu." And we began discussions on Hinduism versus Christianity. And it was actually the first time in my life that I began to wonder, am I on the right path? Because he seemed so sure. And I noticed that he would quote the Bible. Now, I did something that I would recommend anybody here to do if you've never done this. I walked into a Christian bookshop. I mean, today you'd go on Amazon. But I walked into a Christian bookshop and I bought a Bible. And I went home and I began to read the Bible. Now, in the Bible, there's a book called Romans. And I began to read Romans. And for 6 months, every evening I would come home from work, I'd go for a run, have a shower, and then I would open Romans and have an exercise book, and I would try and understand what this book of the Bible was saying. Now, I don't think I understood a huge amount, but I think I understood, well, I did. I understood enough to know that I had to be a Christian. Indeed, I understood enough to know that what that verse I've just read is saying is true. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, as I, over those 6 months, as I read Romans and then I became a Christian and continued reading the Bible, what is it that made me leave Hinduism, the religion of my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, ancestors? I mean, I still go back to the village in India that my ancestors came from. Because right from birth, you're told we are in Kenya, but we're Indian. And we speak Indian languages. And these are the names of the villages. Your father came from this village. Your mother came from this village. And I still make visits to those villages. And they're all Hindu. There isn't a church there. As far as I know, there isn't a single Christian there. So what is it that made me leave Hinduism and become a Christian? Why did I do this? Well, very briefly, three things. The first is this. I became a Christian because Christ is the only one who can deal with our sins. As I read Romans, and I would recommend you read Romans, the opening passages in the book of Romans speaks about sin. And it speaks about how we're all sinners, regardless of who we are. You know, regardless of our parents, our religion, our culture, our background, whatever, the Bible makes it very clear, we're all sinners before God. That is to say, we have broken God's law. We have offended God. We have rebelled against God. We have done things that displease God. We have done things that God disapproves of. We have done things that actually bring judgment upon us, that is deserving of judgment. God's law is a little bit like the law of this country. In fact, the law of this country is based on God's law. Now, if after this meeting, I walk to my car and I drive out of this car park and through the streets of Didcot at 70 miles an hour, and there's a policeman anywhere, I'll immediately be flagged down and I'll be given a ticket, and I guess I'll be given points and perhaps banned from driving. I mean, 70 miles per hour in a built-up area. Why? Because the law must be judged and punished, you see. A lawbreaker must be judged and punished. That is what the law says. You break the law, you must be judged for that, and you must be punished for that. And that's what God's law says. that we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law, every one of us here. And therefore, we all deserve to be judged and to be punished. Now, my Hinduism used to say, if you try really hard and you're devout and you're upright and moral and good, God will somehow overlook your sin. He won't. I know a lot of people believe this, that if I live a moral life, an upright life, a religious life, and I do my very, very best, then God will overlook my sins. He won't. God is completely just. God's justice is perfect. And God must punish sin. And one of the reasons I became a Christian is because Christ alone deals with our sins. The Bible says when he died, as he hung upon that cross in a few months' time, a few weeks' time, we'll be having Easter, and we'll be thinking about Christ's death on the cross. As he hung upon that cross, our sins were laid upon him. And he died for his people. Their sins were laid upon him, and God punished him. It's a little bit like if the authorities catch me, and they take me to court, and they see you driving through Didcot at 70, and there's a fine to pay, £1,000. Well, I haven't got £1,000. But Jim stands up and says, I'm a good friend of this man. I will pay his £1,000, you see. You know, it's somebody saying, I will pay instead of this man. I will suffer the loss. I will give up my valuable money so that my friend can go free. And Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus was saying, I will pay the penalty that these people should have paid. I will take their sin, and I will pay the penalty. Now, Christ is the only one who does that. There is no other religious figure in Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, whatever, who has ever said, I have come to deal with people's sins. I have come to pay the penalty for their sins so that they can go free. But Christ did. So my first reason for leaving Hinduism, becoming a Christian, Christ is the only one who can deal with our sins. And if we don't believe in Christ, we don't have faith in Christ, we still are in our sins, and we still will be judged for our sins. So that was my first reason. My second reason was this, that Christ is the only one who can give us a real hope of heaven. You know, you ask the question, who would like to go to heaven? And I guess all of us would put up our hands and say, yes, you know, if there's a place called heaven and it sounds as wonderful as people say, I want to go there. Of course you do. We all want to go to heaven. But how do we get into heaven? Because remember, we are sinners. We're born sinners. And we all commit sin. And heaven is a perfect place because it is God's dwelling place. And God will not allow people who have sinned to their record, whose lives are dominated by sin, to enter into heaven. But Christ deals with our sins. Christ forgives us our sins. And Christ says to us, I will make you ready for heaven. Do you know the most wonderful thing about the Christian life is that when you become a Christian, God himself comes to live in you. I know that's a massive statement, and perhaps you're thinking, what's he saying? But it's true. God himself, by his Holy Spirit, comes to live in you. And his purpose in coming to live in us is to prepare us for heaven. It is to transform us. It is to renew us. It is to get rid of our sinful habits and our sinful ways, to perfect us, this gradual process. It's a lifelong process where the Holy Spirit of God lives in us, and he little by little transforms us into the image of Christ so that we're becoming more and more like Christ. Nobody is perfect. I'm not claiming I'm perfect. I'm not claiming even Jim isn't perfect. No. Nobody is perfect. Okay? So I'm not saying here we Christians are perfect. I'm not saying we Christians are sinless. I'm not saying we Christians are better than you or anybody or anything like that. But I am saying this, that a Christian is a person in whom God is at work, transforming, changing, making ready for that dwelling in heaven. And one day, when I die, when all who are Christians, all who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we die, well, we will go to be with the Lord. 10 years ago, my wife died of cancer. We were both 54 at the time, and she had ovarian cancer and she died. And for a year, I nursed her. It took her a year to die. Now, I look back, I mean, it's 10 years, and I look back and I think, in many ways, that was a tough time. But, you know, I watched my wife die. Now, my wife was an ordinary Christian. What I'm trying to say is she wasn't some kind of super saint or anything like that. She was a Christian who loved the Lord Jesus. She was like just any other Christian. And as she lay there dying, I could see real joy. And I could see there a peace, because she knew where she was going. This isn't a pipe dream. This isn't some hope. Well, let's hope that when I die, I'll make it. This is not Christianity. A true Christian knows, because the Holy Spirit who lives in us tells us. A few years after my wife died, my daughter rang me up. She lives in Cambridge. And my daughter said, "Dad, I'm getting baptized. Will you come to my baptism?" And of course, we all gathered in Cambridge for her baptism. And she stood up to give her testimony. And I found this very moving, because she said, I'd been a Christian since I was 12, 13 years old. But I'd always wondered, is it true? She said, I was a Christian, and I knew she was a Christian. But she said, I always wondered, is it really true? And then she said, I watched my mother die, and I knew it was true. And that's why I want to get baptized, because now I know it's true. So, why did I become a Christian from Hinduism? Christ is the only one who deals with our sins. He died on the cross, and our sins were laid upon him. He paid the penalty, and thereby brings forgiveness for all who trust in him. Secondly, Christ gives us a sure, a definite hope of heaven. Not some pipe dream, not some vague hope, but a real, real hope of heaven. And then thirdly and finally, why did I leave Hinduism and become a Christian? Because Christ gives us real joy in this life. Now, you know what life is like here on earth. It isn't easy. You know, we have trials, we have difficulties, we have anxieties, we have bereavements, we have illnesses, and so on. And the older we get, some of these issues become more and more. And of course, no Christian is immune from it. I'm not saying that I'm immune from the difficulties of life. I've seen my wife die. And of course, there are bodily issues or illnesses, there are stresses, anxieties, and so on. But I will say this, that despite all that this life can throw at us, Christ gives real joy and real peace. And I praise God for that. I honestly cannot think, and I'm not saying this because I'm some kind of super saint or anything like that. I'm a very ordinary Christian. But I don't think I can remember a day when I was anxious about something and just couldn't get peace about it and so on. Yes, I've had issues where I'm anxious, but then I take it to the Lord. Because there's a lovely verse in the Bible which says, cast your cares upon him, he cares for you. And I take that verse and I say, well, Lord, you said in your Bible, in your word, that I'm to bring my cares, my anxieties, my worries, and because you care for me. Well, here is the thing that I'm worried about today. And God gives me peace. He gives all his children peace and joy. In spite and in the midst of all the difficulties and issues of life, there is real joy and real peace in being a Christian. And that increases as we walk with the Lord and we get to know him and grow in our knowledge of him. Every time I visit my mom, and she's 90 years old now, and we always talk about religion because she's still upset. I mean, it was 40 years ago that I became a Christian. She's still upset that I became a Christian. And every time I visit my mom, she talks about this and says, you know, I'm so upset you've become a Christian. I wish you'd come back to Hinduism. And I say to my mom, why would I do that? I've got Christ. I've got forgiveness of sin. I don't wake up in the middle of the night with my conscience bothering me about some sin I committed a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. If a thought like that does come, I immediately say, yes, but it's been forgiven. That thought of my sin isn't going to trouble, it's not going to keep me away. It's forgiven. Yes, I did sin, but it's forgiven. It's gone. The blood of Jesus has covered it. It's gone. Why would I want to come back to Hinduism? Because I have a real hope of heaven. You know, all my Hindu relatives, every time we get into a conversation, I try to bring the conversation to death because I know this is something that they find challenging. I say, you're going to die. What's going to happen when you... Oh, don't talk about it. You don't like talking about death. Because there's no certainty, you see. I talk about death because I know what's going to happen after death. I'm going to be in heaven. I know I'm going to be in heaven. This is not some wishful thinking. I know it. And I have joy and peace that I never had as a Hindu. My Hinduism used to say, do more, do more, do more, and your gods will be pleased with you. Christianity, the Lord Jesus says, I've done it all for you. Believe, and you will be saved. So I left Hinduism 40 years ago, became a Christian, because Christ alone deals with our sins. Christ alone gives us a hope of heaven. Christ alone gives us joy and peace in this world. And over 40 years, he has never, ever failed me, not once. And I praise God for his goodness and grace to me.